Let's all stand out of reverence. We're going to begin chapter 1. And as I was going through this, we got an outline, and I was looking at how many studies, and we will probably be done with this book before Easter. So praise the Lord. But here we go. Colossians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ who are in Colossae, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Since we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of your love for all the saints, because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which has come to you as it has also in all the world, and is bringing forth fruit, as it is also among you since the day you heard and knew the grace of God in truth, as you also learn from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf, who also declared to us your love in the Spirit. Let's pray. Father, we come before you, and again, we're thankful for your word. What we hold in our hands today is God-breathed, it's God-inspired. And I pray that all of us would remember how fortunate we are. For there are still many other countries in this world who have never heard the name of Jesus. There are many churches that are meeting underground and can't do the things that we just did. It's amazing to me when I think of the underground church and how they worship the Lord and how difficult it must be to refrain from saying the name of Jesus. And yet we have it so freely. Thank you, Lord, for the blessings that we have to worship you publicly, freely, in key, out of key, doesn't matter. Lord, we have the blessing to worship you. So would you fill our hearts now and help change us from the inside out? This I ask in your precious name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. As we get ready to start this new book in the Bible, I want to lay some foundation, give some background, and then we're only going to cover the first 8 verses. And so it's important for us to do this because if we can understand and know why this letter was written, the more we're going to get out of it. We're going to understand that not only did it apply to the saints back then during Paul's day, but how it applies to us today. And so just a little bit of a background, okay? The Apostle Paul is the author of this letter. And what I want to point out in this, because I think it's really important, is that Paul, listen, beloved, did not start off well, okay? Why do I find great encouragement? Because I didn't start off well, so that brings me hope, okay? But I want you to understand, what was his life like? What was going on? And sure enough, if you look through the scriptures, you'll find out that as a young man, he grew up in a very devout family, a Jewish family. And though they lived in the city of Tarsus, they were Roman citizens, which gave them opportunities to go into different parts of the world and be protected by Roman law. This would play a huge factor in Paul's ministry later. But his parents sent young Paul to Jerusalem as a child, as a youngster, for the purpose of being taught under one of the greatest rabbis of their day by the name of Gamaliel. He was not only a rabbi, but he was an expert in Jewish law. So he had all of the proper training under the popular teacher of the day. And of course, as Paul grew up, he became a Pharisee, one of the elite, one of those. Listen, what was one of the qualifications to become a Pharisee? You had to memorize the first 5 books of the Bible. Any signups? I have trouble with Jesus wept, right? But listen, he became a Pharisee, and he was passing beyond all of his peers, excelling in this group. But when the church was birthed, listen carefully, he had a hatred toward Christianity, which also led him to persecuting followers of Christ. Not just persecuting them and hurting them, but imprisoning them. Paul's sole mission in life was to destroy the church, and he was bound to make that happen until that day he met Jesus person to person on the road of Damascus. If you have not read it, I want to encourage you, read chapter 9 of the book of Acts, and you'll read this amazing story, how once he left to persecute Christians, now meeting face to face with Jesus, his life was radically changed. On that road, Paul became a believer in Christ. And so from persecutor to preacher, what an amazing testimony. Again, I share this because he didn't start off well, but what we do know is he finished well. And I pray that that would be some comfort to us, because I think I can speak boldly and say some of us in this room didn't start off well, me, myself, and I. Here we go. For those of you who didn't raise your hand, we'll have counseling later. I want you just to know the short, amazing testimony from persecutor to preacher, to not starting off well, to ending well, to serving the Lord for some 30 plus years, traveling around the world on missionary journeys, planting several churches. And then the Apostle Paul had the privilege of writing 13 of the New Testament books in our Bible. You see, beloved, I share this and I hope it brings us hope, because God can use anybody. You don't have to be perfect. Can I get an amen for that? I am so thankful for testimonies such as this, because if God had the ability to change the, Paul, he has the ability to change anybody, even the hardest of hearts. Because I know for a fact that many of us in this room right now probably have about 4 or 5 names. Don't say them out loud. Okay? But we all have people in our heart that think, oh man, they just need some Jesus. And there's some believers out there who think they know Jesus, who really don't. And so not only is this an amazing testimony of the Apostle Paul, but he actually penned this letter while he was in prison in Rome. Again, devoted and not allowing the chains and that house arrest to keep him from sharing the gospel, from encouraging and building up other people. He may not have been physically able to go, but he was able to write at least 4 of his epistles in Rome, send them out to keep building up the church. Beloved, you can't keep the gospel down. And sure enough, as Paul did these things, who was Paul writing this specific letter to? Well, it says it very clearly, to the saints, to those faithful believers who lived in the city of Colossae. Now, this city was in Asia Minor, and it was in between or right next to 2 other main cities, but this is actually modern-day Turkey. The other 2 cities that surrounded it or were nearby it were Laodicea and Hierapolis. These cities were known as the Tri-Cities, and at one point, they were all booming with business. And it was all because of the east and west trade route that ran through their city. Colossae was actually known for having expensive fabric dye, okay? How many of you ladies in here love purple? Okay, this is where it originated from. Many people say that that's what their city was known for, this amazing purple dye. I don't like purple, but anyway, it doesn't matter. Don't get mad at me, I'm just saying. But as this city was, again, at one point booming, as Paul penned this letter, it was actually decreasing in its popularity. But one of the unique things about the city of Colossae was its diversity. Being that it was a trade route, many people from all over would come. So there was a mixture of Gentiles and Jews. There was a mixture of cultures, different languages. You know, yesterday we had a wedding here, and the young couple that got married, we did Spanish and English. Pay for your pastor, because I don't speak Spanish, okay? Y'all know that already. But we had a translator, and so when it came to the exchanging of the vows, like the bride wrote out her own vows, and I don't even understand Spanish, but I was all like, that was deep. I have no idea what she said, but listen, what was I going with that? Oh, different languages. They had different worldviews, different religions, okay? So at one point, they had a mixture of all of these things going on, and sure enough, they were growing in some aspects. But just like the book of Romans, this is what fascinates me. This is how much love Paul had for the body of Christ. Paul never planted this church, nor did he ever visit. And here he is extending this letter of love. And of course, we're going to see some other correction. We're going to see some other things. But out of love for the body of Christ, his heart was filled with compassion toward them. And so many people think, well, who started this church? And they believe that it is this gentleman that we just read, Epaphras, and other believers. They believe that their path crossed with Paul back in the book of Acts chapter 19, when Paul was literally teaching in the city of Ephesus for over 2 years. He had a Bible college, okay? People would come and they would learn. And this is the testimony of Acts chapter 19, that the gospel actually spread all throughout Asia Minor. That's pretty powerful. Can you imagine if all of the evangelical churches here within St. George preached the gospel, and all of a sudden, all of Utah, we could say, has heard the gospel? Wouldn't that be amazing? Because I know that there's many people out there who think they know Jesus, but they don't. They have a different definition of who Jesus is, different belief, but yet we need to come back to what truth says. And as we look at this, I want us to see that these men, it's very possible that as they went to this church, and many commentators say this, that as they would go, or as they attended this Bible college, this school, as they were taught by the Apostle Paul, the gospel would then go out into all of Asia Minor. As they would come and learn, they would then go and live. And beloved, can I challenge us with that? We're not here just to take in and sit here for an hour or so, but we're to live out. We're to live out what God is teaching us and showing us. And so, along with this gentleman and other believers who aren't mentioned, they went from being disciples to co-laborers with Christ, of Christ with Paul. And they went out and planted a church. We're going to see other men that are mentioned who didn't live in Ephesus, but they lived in Colossae. One started a church. One was there to preach the gospel. One was a preacher. And so it's amazing to see how, as Paul shared the gospel, it spread. So what was Paul's purpose in writing this letter? Again, even though this city was known for its strength, what strengthened them also became their weakness. What do I mean by that? Because all of the different views on religion, false teachers began to creep into the church. So Paul wrote this letter to correct false teachers. He wrote this letter because false teachers were coming in and they were combining different beliefs and various schools of thought. They were merging elements together of secular philosophy as well as with Christian doctrine. This is also known as syncretism. One of the things that I pray that we would understand, what does this word mean? It's when you take a little bit of this and a little bit of this worldview or a little bit of this religion and you combine it all together, and that's what you begin to preach. And so when you do this, what happens? You are definitely taking away from the gospel. This is what I want us to understand, beloved. When you take away from the gospel, or you try to add to the gospel, listen carefully, you no longer have the gospel. And one of the most important things is for us to understand what that gospel is. Because once we know the truth, And it's the truth that sets us free from what we see happening in our world. Listen carefully. It is the truth that will help us stay focused when all of these other false teachings come our way. See, the root teaching of what they were trying to do would also become known as Gnosticism. One of the things that I looked up as that word, and in the Greek it means Gnostic, which means to learn. This group of people began to worship intellect instead of Jesus. They began to think that they had a superior knowledge, which would enlighten them to other spiritual things that other people didn't know. They focused more on church rituals. They focused more on the law or the observance of feast. Listen, this is the one that got me. They established, listen carefully, their own dietary rules. You know me. I don't play that. You can't tell me what to eat and what not to. My wife tries it all the time and she loses. This is a funny story. This is truth. We went to, when I was in Uganda, our host, who was guiding us to all of the villages and every place that we went to, they gave us some do's and some don'ts. Don't drink the water. Okay, check, got that. And then she said this, don't eat any vegetables. I love this place. I love it. They said, you can't do this, you can't do that, can't eat this. This is what they were focused on. And not only were they focused on these things, but listen, here's what caused many people to follow them. They did not completely deny Christ, but listen carefully, they did dethrone him. Okay, how did that happen? Because they gave him a place in Christianity, but he didn't have his supreme place. In other words, I think many of us have heard this. How can you claim that Jesus is God if he was a man? Oh, he was just a good teacher. Oh, he was a prophet, but he wasn't the Messiah. You see, there's a lot of people who will give him a place in Christianity. They'll even acknowledge him, but they don't acknowledge him as Jesus, as Lord. So this is what Gnosticism was doing. In relying on their own human wisdom, their teachings led to two paths. One is rigid legalism. The other one was unrestrained license to sin. And as I share these two paths, doesn't this sound really familiar to our day today? Because this is what a lot of people are doing. The reality is religion is Jesus plus these rules. It's Jesus plus do this and you will gain God's favor. Religion is do this and you will get a ticket into heaven. But when it comes to Christianity, listen, beloved, it's all about what God has done for you. That's the truth of the gospel. It's not what we do, it's what Christ has already done. He was the one that hung on that cross. When you look at one of the most common scripture references that declares the whole gospel in one is John 3:16. I want you to listen to this. It was God who what? So loved. Who did he love? Let me hear it again. But do you realize that includes you? So you can literally put your name in there. For God so loved Johnny, Joe, Jesse, Jerry, whoever. I don't know why I didn't say a lady's name, but anyways, get the point. He loves you ladies too, okay? You could put your name in there. He loves you. How many of you kind of scratch your head at times and go, why? If he really knew who I was, he does. And he still loves you. So not only does he love us, but he also provided something, the perfect work of redemption. This is where Jesus comes in. Jesus came specifically to die in order to pay this penalty of sin that is upon all of us. His death appeased. It was the rightful payment to do away with sin, to set us free from sin. Again, God's gift. He gave, this is for you, out of love. And so when we look at all of what Jesus has done, he opened up that door for us to have this perfect and right relationship with God. Okay, I was hoping to get an amen there. Amen. Too late, don't count. I want you just let this thought sink in for a minute. Do you realize the beauty in that statement of us having a right relationship with the one who created everything with just a word? The one who holds the whole universe in the palm of his hands. The one who tells the sun when to rise. The one who demands and commands the winds and the waves and tells them when to stop. This is the very one that you and I have the blessing of having a right relationship with. See, that's powerful. And the only thing that the Lord is requiring of us is to believe, to have faith, to trust and know that what he says will come to pass. Listen, if you don't, I'm going to give you a little test here, or not test, but I'm just going to do this because I think this is what got me. This is what floored me. I'm going to hold my Bible up so you can see it really clearly. Okay, here we go. Here's 66 book of the Bible. See, there's a cover. Don't worry about that. There you go. There's 65. Here's number 66. All of this has come true. What makes you think this isn't? Think about it. He said it. We already have the last chapter. Jesus wins. We're just waiting for it to happen. And so when I look at all that we have, he says, just believe. And when you believe, beloved, listen carefully. You have the greatest gift ever to be with him for an eternity. Listen, to receive that gift, here's the other blessing. You don't have to be perfect. Yes. Huge amen. You don't have to have perfect attendance at church. No, I'm not excusing you. Don't you show up to church, okay? It's not about a church. It's not about how many good deeds you do. And please understand, good deeds are good. But when you do good deeds, it's not so that you can gain. It's because out of love for Jesus, you do for others. There's a big difference. And the reality is that we have today is we've been given this gift, and God has a desire to spend eternity with you. And I believe that's a word for some in here. Because some of you are going through some difficulty. Some of you have been hit by life, and it feels like you've been crippled. Just know, what we face in this world is temporary. And all of the difficulties and all of the struggles will not compare to the gift of eternity that we have with God. Paul wrote this letter specifically to refute and to correct false teachers, but also to remind the church, remind the believers, listen carefully, of the deity and the preeminence of Christ. He is above all. There is no one above him. His rightful place is he is God over all. And one of the things that I pray that we would see is that when we know this, listen carefully, in Jesus, you don't need anything else. You are complete. When you have Jesus, you come to the realization that he is all-knowing. We can pretend one another, hey, bro, how you doing? I'm good. No, you're not. You can walk around and smile. You can have an argument with your wife in the parking lot. And when you get out of the car, what's up, bro? Smiling. All's good. God sees it all. You may fool us, but you're not fooling him. He knows all things. He's all powerful. Listen, I get it. Some of you have been battling health-wise, physical pain all the time. Lord hasn't answered my prayer and I'm still going through this. It's unbearable. I am so sorry. But what I do believe, that even as bad as it may be, as long as it may be, God still has the power to heal you. And I pray that you would hold on to that. I pray that you would ask God for wisdom in what to do. But I also know he is all sovereign. There is nothing that will ever catch him by surprise. He is perfect. He is holy. And listen carefully, he is the truth of all wisdom. He is the source of all wisdom. This is who our God is. So, beloved, you don't lack anything. You and I are complete in him. And when I see this, again, this is what Paul is getting ready to express throughout this letter. We're going to discover all of these things, but we're going to look at this letter in two parts, even though there's only four chapters. Listen, chapters 1 and 2, we're going to look at what God has done. So again, what God has done, his person and the work that he has accomplished. There's going to be some doctrinal truth that we're going to discover, and then again, correction toward those false teachers. He's going to give us some instruction and some warnings. And then in chapters 3 and 4, it's what Christians should do. Now that you've learned this, apply it. Do it. We're going to be exhorted by Paul, and we're also going to be reminded. And isn't it true that we all need some good reminders? Because we're forgetful people. He's going to exhort us in the work that God wants to do inward, how he wants to change us, our thinking, how we view things, and of course, our trust in him. And then he's also going to focus on the outward work. Again, how we treat one another. This is so important. One of the takeaways from this book that I pray all of us would walk, you know, gain, is found in Colossians chapter 2. Why don't you take a look at this? Colossians chapter 2, verse 9 and 10. Notice what this says. For in Christ lies all the fullness of God in a human body. I'm going to read this from the New Living Translation. Let me start again. For in Christ lives all the fullness of God in a human body. So you also are complete through your union with Christ, who is the head over every ruler and authority. This was the New Living Translation. But this is what I pray we would walk away with, that Jesus is supreme Lord. He is above all, and he is the sufficient Savior. This is who our God is. And so as we get ready to dig in, keep this in mind. This is where we're going with the book. Now that we know these things, again, beginning in verse 1 and 2, notice what it says. Paul was an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother. And he goes on to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ who are in Colossae. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So as Paul begins this greeting, listen, we covered most of this in our intro, but Paul definitely wanted these writers to know his credentials. He wanted them to know that he had the authority to speak into their lives. This word apostle speaks of being a chosen one or one who is sent by God. So he had the power and the ability to speak into this church, even though he had never been there. I pray that we would see Paul's heart in this is not to boast, but again, that they could receive his word, not coming from a man, but able to look at this as being God's messenger. I am one of the servants of the Lord, and what I give you, he's given to me, and all I do is pass it on. And so, not only do we see this in his typical greeting, but he also desires God's blessing upon them. And one of the things that we see very clearly in the next several verses, which is 3 and 4, let me go ahead and read it. We give thanks to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and your love for all the saints. So Paul reveals to these saints, hey, I've heard about you, and now I want you to know what I've been praying for you. How many of you get a little kind of nervous when you hear people say, oh, I heard about you? Anybody get a little nervous? Listen, when Marisa and I are at Costco or wherever, like we're walking around, and people kind of sometimes do a double take, and they're like, and it's like, okay, they're either from church, or maybe they went to TuaCon at Easter or a convention center at Christmas. One of those, it's got to be one of those. And so they'll start talking to us, and some of them will go, you look really familiar. And I'll say, well, okay. And then they'll say, what do you do? And I'll say, well, I'm senior pastor over at Calvary Chapel St. George. And they'll go, oh, yeah. I've heard about Calvary. And then I get a little nervous because I know some of y'all. I'm just kidding. Just kidding. But they're like, oh, yeah, I've heard about Calvary. And sometimes people will share what they've heard. And I'm like, well, that was good. If my name is dropped, oh, I heard about you. What'd you hear? Hopefully it was good. If not, I have an evil twin out there somewhere. Okay? But listen, it's kind of scary at times when they say, oh, I've heard about you. But hearing from the Apostle Paul what he has heard is an amazing praise report. What he's heard is an amazing testimony of a group of believers who we don't even know their names except for one. And their testimony, their love for God is being lived out in their life. And so what does Paul say? Not only have I heard about you, but we've been praying. Paul has been thanking the Lord for the work that he is doing in and through them. Paul understood the reason why you have a good testimony is because God is doing a work in you and through you. If any of us ever think, oh man, I'm just a gift to God. I don't mean to bust your bubble, but listen, if there's any good in you, it didn't come from you. It came from God. He is the giver of all good things. So we can't take credit for anything. It's God doing a work in us and then through us. And so this is what Paul is thanking the Lord for, because no longer is Colossae known for its expensive fabric of the dyes, but they're known as a bunch of believers who have faith in Christ Jesus. That's a pretty cool testimony. This is who you once were, but this is who you are now. And so when you look at this, what's also interesting is this. What is happening in Colossae is the same thing that's happening in our world today. And what do I mean by that? Because in our world right now, whether you agree on this or not, there are many people in the world who have faith. But the problem is they don't have faith in Christ. What do I mean by that? Well, if you look up the true definition of the word faith, it means to have complete trust, a full conviction of truth. You see, many people today are putting their trust and faith in worldviews, in culture, and in movements. And when you have people putting all of their trust in these things, the problem is, over the course of time, worldviews, culture, and movements change. They are not solid like the gospel. And the reality is that as many people back then put their trust in all of these things, we're seeing it today. And as they chase after whatever is new, they will be sadly disappointed. But here's even more of another problem. This one's a little bit, in my opinion, a little bit more difficult. And what do I mean by that? Because there are some churches today who are making the same mistakes. There are some churches who have stopped preaching the full counsel of God. And there are some believers who are the body of Christ, who allowed other things to creep into their hearts. And so now it's Jesus plus, well, I need to please everybody. I don't want to rub anybody the wrong way, so I'm not going to talk about sin. I'm not going to talk about these things because I'm afraid tithing is going to go down. There are some churches today who are more legal, you know, legalistic than they are in extending grace, putting burdens upon people that aren't there, that shouldn't be there. You know, trying to tell somebody who just accepted the Lord, oh, you shouldn't be doing that. Come on, give them a break. They accepted the Lord 30 minutes ago. They're not going to change overnight. You didn't. I didn't. Extend some grace. Don't start giving a bunch of rules and you can't do this and you can't do this. Listen, understand that God's the one who's going to convert their heart, not you. There are some churches today that are okay with people staying home and just watching on the internet. And I need you to understand my heart here. The internet is meant for people, please hear me out, who can't be here, who don't have a car, who maybe are recovering from an illness or a surgery. This is what the internet was meant for. And if you're watching us and you have a car and you're not injured and you're healthy, you're missing out. I believe this whole pandemic has made Christians lazy. Love me or hate me. Instead of it being about congregation, now it's about being an individual. Oh, I could watch this. Oh, I could watch this. Oh, I can click here. Oh, I like the worship here. Oh, I don't like the preacher here. You're not there for the preacher, because the preacher needs to just preach the word of God. And if the preacher is preaching the word of God and you have a difficulty with it, then you have a problem with God, not the preacher. There's some churches and some believers who have gotten too involved with Jesus plus, oh, I'm going to know I'll get some emails on this one, politics. There are too many believers putting their faith in a single man instead of putting their faith in the man who is Christ Jesus. And I need to remind us, you take away from the gospel, you add to the gospel, you no longer have the gospel. You see, this church in Colossae, these believers were known because their faith, their trust, they were completely convicted when they received, when they heard the gospel, they received it. And it wasn't just that they walked around with shirts that said, look at me, I have faith. No, their faith became action. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 says this, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. It is impossible to please God without faith. The next thing that Paul heard of about these saints in Colossae was their love for other saints. What I took out of this was that these believers were loving well, just like our theme. For this whole year, our desire is to love everybody well. This word love here is agape love. It's a sacrificial love. It's a God kind of love. It's a love that is not led by emotion, but it's a decision. Because there are times when people who are going to get under your skin, who don't deserve love, but you decide to give love. This is what God's love looks like. This is what Paul is saying about the love that these guys, these saints had for other believers. The challenge that we've had throughout this year of not only loving well, but to stay the course throughout the year. And one of the main scriptures is Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. Notice what it says. Let us not grow weary while doing good. Let us not grow weary while loving people by doing what is right. For in due season, we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Though it only feels like you're the one giving, 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 listen, God will be your rewarder. Don't sweat it. You just do what is right. You do what God calls you to do. Don't worry about anybody else. He says here, therefore, as we have opportunities, when the door opens before you, when you have this in your hands, let us do good to who? All. Now, the amazing deep definition in the Greek is all. That's what it is. Everybody. And he says here, especially to those who are of the household of faith. See, this is what these saints were doing in loving people well. They were loving the way God loved them. And it was so, again, amazing. You know, yesterday we had a wedding here. And it was the first time that I ever did a wedding with a translator. I know, pray for me, I don't speak Spanish. But when the bride began to share her vows, like it was deep, and I didn't even understand it, but it just sounded beautiful. Her words and everything that she did, again, like I said earlier in the beginning, it was amazing to see how in and through this, her love was expressed just through words. Our faith and our love for one another is going to be seen, not because of the words that we speak, but because of the way that we live, the way that we encourage people, the way that we come alongside of them. And so these saints learned, and as they learned, listen carefully, it is powerful to see what God did in through them, because the last thing that Paul points out and what he's heard is that the gospel has spread because of them. As the gospel was being preached, this city believed, and as they embraced the gospel, as they took the gospel, listen carefully, Paul reveals it wasn't because of me, but he mentions Epaphras, and he says he was a fellow servant. He was one who taught them about Jesus. He not only taught them, but listen, Paul reveals that he was a faithful minister, that he went on to remain loyal to the Lord. And this is what I love. He served the Lord and he served God's people. A true servant. Though he may have been the pastor of this church, though he may have been, you know, the one leading the church, he served the body. And so this is what, again, I pray that we would have in our hearts the desire to do. So how did this church in Colossae get this testimony? Notice what it says in verse 5 and 6. Because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which has come to you as it also in all the world, and is bringing forth fruit, as it is also among you since the day you heard and knew the grace of God in truth. So these saints had this amazing testimony because of the gospel. As they believed that word of truth, the Bible grabbed a hold of their hearts, transformed their lives. And this is what I want you to understand and know. What you hold in your hand is no fairy tale. What you hold in your hand is God's word being spoken to you. And so not only is this an amazing truth, but listen to what Proverbs chapter 30, verse 5 and 6 says. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield to those who put their trust in him. Do not add to his word, lest he rebuke you and you be found a liar. It is amazing how many people throughout the course of history have tried to discredit the Bible. And if you want a live, you know, example of this, just go into our bookstore, purchase a book called The Case for Christ by Lee Strobel, and you'll discover how this guy had a determination to prove that the gospel, that the Bible that we hold in our hands is a lie. And after his whole search, after his whole investigation, he became a believer. Over and over again, there are many testimonies of that same thing. And one of the things that I pray that we would see is that every word is pure. It has stood the test of time. It has not been changed. So not only do we have this amazing gift before us, but again, it is the word of God that transforms our life. If you want to have a strong faith today, get into the word of God. If you have a desire to love people well, get into the word of God. Because as you learn how to love God, then he teaches us how to love one another. And as we take in of the word of God, listen, just like a sponge, whatever it is soaking in, whatever is being absorbed, the moment that it is pressed, that's what comes out of it. So even in a world where we're facing different worldviews, culture, different movements, though they may not all agree with us, but when you're pressed by them, what's going to come out? Jesus. And the reality is that I pray that we would see that as we stick close and we too take in, that we would begin to learn how to love and how to draw others to Jesus. Because it's possible. And so, what is my prayer for us as a church? Well, for us as the body of Christ here in St. George, I pray that we too would have this testimony, that we would be known as saints who have faith in Christ alone. How are people going to see that? Again, by the way we live. How are people going to know if you have faith in Christ? Wait till hardships come. They'll see who you put your trust in. When it comes to the testimony of us, I pray that it would be known that we love all people. And again, regardless of different views, regardless of different lifestyles, regardless of whatever movement people are a part of, the greatest picture that I pray we would walk away with people is this: though I may disagree with you, doesn't mean I don't love you. I pray that we would understand and know that there's a proper way to stand firm in our faith and still not judge people. But the only way that we're going to learn how to do this is when we're taking in the word of God and allowing God to give us the words to speak when we're in front of people. I pray that we would not beat people up over the head with our Bibles, but that we would love them into the kingdom. You are never going to argue anybody into the kingdom of God. It is only going to be through God's word, through his Holy Spirit, that is going to give you the humility and also the words of wisdom to speak. But the only way that that's going to happen is, again, if you and I do our part and get into the word. The other thing I pray that we would be known for is, again, to be a disciple-making church. That we would not only come into this place and worship the Lord, but that we would then live for the Lord outside of this building. I shared with many of you already. Many of you have asked me, oh man, Pastor, this is getting full, man. Oh, we need a bigger church. When are we going to do it? When you give us the money. I'm just kidding. God hasn't called us to build a new church. What God's called us to do is build disciples. We're not here to build our own little kingdom. There are plenty of other places within Utah and across our world that need to hear the gospel. Our responsibility is to raise up and send out. Our responsibility is to, again, come alongside others and to continue to fulfill the Great Commission. You know, one of the things that I want to share with you is that missions plays a big part of this fellowship. And the reason why I was gone last week to Uganda was for God to reveal more areas that we can go out and be a part of the work that God is doing. I've shared with you over and over again that 1040 window is where God's called us to go. This is where he wants us to focus on. And I'm going to be very transparent. Until last week, my focus was in my own little bubble. See, I've seen poverty before. In the 12 years that we lived in the Philippines, I've seen, and it's just as bad in the Philippines as it is in Uganda. But after coming home and being 6 years in Vegas, and then now almost 5 years, 6 years here, God brought some deep conviction in my heart that I was living too comfortable. This is me. I'm not putting any guilt trip on you. This is me speaking my heart to you. I have had the most amazing blessing. I get my own bed. I got my own bathroom. I can go in the kitchen and I can open up my ref and I can eat anything. I don't want everything in there, but I can eat everything in there. I've never had the issue of opening it up and it being empty. Any time of the day, I didn't have to walk a quarter of a mile to go get some water. All of these things that God has been doing throughout the scriptures and us talking about missions and talking about missions and we need to go, there was some deep conviction as I went. And I never want to lose sight of that ever again. We have been so blessed by the Lord. We have all of this. And there's some churches that don't even have walls, that don't have speakers, overhead projections, iPads. Some people only have three strings on their guitar and they still know how to worship the Lord. And here we are, a little comfortable. It's too loud. Why we don't do any hymns? Why is the chairs blue? Really? Come on, church. Really? See, all I know is that deep conviction. I don't want it just to come and go because God has called us. It is our responsibility to fulfill the Great Commission. And that means to go, and that means to be a part of life. That means to come alongside and walk with others. That means to come and build up one another. And it's not just that we have to go. You've heard me say this over and over again. It starts here in our Jerusalem. That means us in this building. This is our Jerusalem. And again, we're not focused on building our own little kingdom. We need to go out. And we're going to reach our Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. That's why you will hear us talking about missions. Because as far as I know, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think the Great Commission has been fulfilled. And this is what God has called us to do as his disciples. As we learn, we are now to go and give and to live and to build up and to plant seeds of hope in people's hearts. This is what the church should be doing. I pray that as we walk through this book, we will discover, again, it is Jesus and Jesus alone. There is nothing above him. But as we learn to live for him, that he would direct us in the path that he has for us as a church and as individuals. Can I get an amen for that? Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you so much for your word this morning, and I want to thank you for your amazing grace and the ability, again, to see your truth being revealed. I pray, God, in the power of your precious name, that with every heart and with every person in this place, that we would continue to trust you, that as believers, we would be known for our faith, for our love, and for our desire to be disciples. So, Lord, continue to take our hearts and teach us your way so we could accomplish those things.